Yo, 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 what's good, everybody? Good morning, good afternoon, good night, wherever you may be. I want to welcome you to another episode of Positivity Spartans. It is the pusher of positivity, the maestro of motivation. I had to say that extra because my man Marcellus messed that up today earlier. But what's up, everybody? We're back with another episode of Positivity Spartans. Unfortunately, Lane is having some technical difficulties, but I am joined, as always, with my man Marcellus, and we are joined today by a special guest. Big homie from the hometown. I call him the big homie because he's taller than me, not because he's older than me. but my man is there, head and shoulders. He actually was a part of a protest in our hometown last week. And we wanted to get him on the show, you know, pick his brain a little bit, see what the energy was like at the protest. And you know how we do here at the Positivity Spartans. We just going to chop it up and we're going to try and drop some gems. So without further ado, Josh, why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself to the people?
How's it going? How's it going? Like Zay said, my name is Joshua Spaulding. I'm just a local entrepreneur, activist, enthusiast, motivational person, all of the above. Own a small business, Spaulding Soul Savers. We do everything, simply.
I like that. We do everything. Yo, You got a Facebook link for the page, right?
I do, actually. Spaulding Soul Savers LLC.
For sure. Send it to me, and after this, I'll put it in the description and everything so everybody can go ahead and check you out. For sure, man. Once again, yo, thank you for coming on the show, though, bro, for real.
It's an honor. I appreciate you even recognizing me.
Oh, bringing me on to your show. Come on, dog. We go back some time, man, because I've known you probably about as long as I've known Marcellus.
Just about.
And that's some years, man. That's some years. Like you said, you know, he's an entrepreneur. You know what I mean? Black business owner. Shout out to that. Doing big things. Now, Spaulding Soul Savers, man. When did you, what inspired you to start that?
Hardships, hard times in life. I want to say 2016, I came home from the military, you know what I'm saying? And it was like more or less a rough mental spot for me, trying to readjust and become a regular person again. I was drinking heavy, you know, still a little bit of a misguided youth, more or less. I ended up having a child at the same time, and then I ended up getting kicked out of my home at the same time, and then I ended up losing my job a month later.
Jesus.
And one thing led to another, and I'm just sitting here staring at walls, talking to my daughter, who's, barely 6 months old. And Spaulding Soul Savers is just what came up. I just wanted to save myself, save everybody, you know? I don't know. One thing led to another, and before I knew it, I was giving people rides as if I was Uber, without Uber. And that's where I began.
Oh, all right. Lane connected. Awesome. Oh. Perfect. We're in the middle of the podcast. We're in the middle of the show. Yo, Spaulding. Bro, that's inspiring, bro, to say the least, because I was not expecting that answer. Because I honestly did not know, like, what inspired you or what, you know what I mean, what pushed you to get, Spaulding Soul Savers started. But honestly, bro, that's pretty much the same shit that started the podcast. You know what I mean? Post-military, life wasn't going the way it needed to go. You know what I mean? I was drinking heavy. I was smoking way more than I need to. And I mean, I still chief, but I'm talking about like I was all day. You know what I mean? Like I was just blown out my mind. Like I didn't want to do anything else but smoke because, you know what I mean, I was in such a dark spot. Like the fact that, you know what I mean, you were able to take that dark moment and turn it around, bro, that speaks volumes about you and your character.
I appreciate that.
No, for sure, bro, because that shit is inspiring, not just to me, but to a lot of people, because a lot of people, everybody has been down at some point in their life, you know what I'm saying? And I'm glad you did that, because I also wanted to check in with the team and just see how y'all were doing, because I mean, it's been about a week since we talked, you know what I mean, last Wednesday, but I definitely wanted to see how y'all were doing.
I mean, not too much. No complaints. Surviving.
Surviving. Right.
That's all we can do right about now. Surviving. That's the most important thing, how to stay alive. You know what I'm saying?
And it's unfortunate that for certain demographics, it's a little harder to stay alive than others.
That's an understatement. I think a little harder is a very, very strong understatement.
Oh, yeah, I was very light with that. I would not admit that. But, but like I said, we definitely want to talk to you about the protest. But like I said, let's just check in on the team, see how they're doing. I mean, see how everybody's weekend was going. You know, you do anything big this weekend, man?
I mean, I'm trying to think. Honestly, nah, I work on the weekends. I did end up going to another protest right out of work on, what was it, Saturday, though.
Okay.
Out in Elizabethtown. Had to go show my face, represent our community, you know what I'm saying? That was very interesting, if I may say.
See, yeah, we're gonna talk about that. We definitely want to talk about that. But what's your goals for the week, man? You got any big goals for the week coming up?
Honestly, I think my biggest goal right now is to organize.
Yo. Yo, you and me both, man. And the fellas can back me up on this because we were just saying, Marcellus had just brought it up. Like, we need to start having like a phone call on Sundays or some shit to get, you know, you can never be too organized, you know what I'm saying?
You gotta organize.
Right. What about you, Lane? What's up, bro? Now that you're on, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can hear you, bro.
Hey, what's up, my man? How you been, bro?
Hey, dude, man, cool, bro. Just taking it one day at a time. We're in the final stretch here. Got about 3 weeks of raining before I head back home in Virginia.
Yo, say that.
We'll almost be on the same time zone, all of us.
for real. Not even that, man. I'll be happy to know that you're back in the States, dog. For real.
Yeah, I'm just trying to mentally prepare myself for what to expect when we're back there. I heard the climate back at home is not the best at the moment. Just the mental and emotional state of everyone, especially Virginia being like a heavy Republican and Commonwealth state. So.
For sure.
You know, we still got to abide by everything that the military puts out, but you know, just interesting to see how the climate is going to be when I get back.
Yeah, that's definitely a big thing because, like you said, the DMV area is hot and heavy up there. That's a hot zone right now.
And with the coronavirus, man, coronavirus cases up there are really bad.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'm gonna be real, man. Since everything's been going on, the corona hasn't even been on my mind as much lately.
Not one bit.
You feel me? not at all, man. Not at all.
And my wife reminds me about it every day. Stay inside.
Yo, it's because you're an investment to the United States Army, man. That's the only reason why, though.
Anyways.
You know what I'm saying? But as far as goals for the week, my man, what's up, dog? You got anything big?
Nothing, man. Just been working out, bro. Probably gonna do a little more cardio this week, but that's about it, bro. You know, talk to the wife, make sure the family's good. I mean, that's pretty much it, bro. Just mentally preparing myself to start grad school at the end of the month. So,
that's a stop.
Yeah, bro. Just embracing this free time.
I feel that, man. I feel that. Got to get your mind right. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Yes, sir.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Yo, Machiavelli. What's good, my man? How you living? Yo, so I see you was talking about you did some shit with the horse. You talk about a 20-foot drop. Are you saying you jumped 20 foot in the air with the horse? Or
not 20 feet. Man,
I don't know who's going to say that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's right. I remember you saying
24.
He on his Django shit.
Yeah, we did jumping practice this week, so it was like my first time doing that, and it was actually really fun. And it's a lot of technique to it, but like once you get it down, it's super fun. So they probably gonna catch me like on non-practice days out there because that's what they're having on ball.
That's dope, man.
But for the most part, I'm good. I actually went out and protested Friday, so we'll talk more about that. But I'm just happy that. our voices are being heard for real.
Definitely, bro.
And it's on a worldwide level that I couldn't even think of. Like, this is bananas.
Yo.
So just that alone makes me so happy. Like, I went on Call of Duty this weekend, and it's like,
bro, straight up.
I'm like,
straight up.
Crazy.
Okay. Get on 2K this weekend. Black Everywhere. Lives Matter. Like, what? 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 What's going on? So I'm in good spirits, man. I'm just stoked about what's going on.
That's what's up, bro. I'm glad to hear that, man. What's up with you? What's up with your week, man? You got any goals or anything you're achieving this week?
Jump some horses.
Do my homework. On time.
Hey, that's a goal, man. That homework is crucial.
Be better than yesterday. That's all I'm doing.
For sure. I feel that, though. Now it's good to hear that everybody doing good, man. It's good to hear that.
What about you, bro?
Oh man, I'm great, bro. I'm in like the best of spirits right now, man. I had some family flying for the weekend, man. And you know, all three of us have been in the military, so you know what it's like. We be away from family for extended periods of time. So I had my two cousins come out here to Texas, man. Showed them a good time, and it was just dope to be around people that you knew when you was in diapers. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
because I'm not afforded that opportunity very much anymore. I mean, and it's my choosing because I choose to live in Texas. But at the same time, man, it was so dope, man. Introduce them to the Texas lifestyle, some good eating. I mean, show them everything was bigger in Texas.
Y'all were in Dallas, right, bro?
Yeah, we spent some time out here in Waco, and then I took them up there to Dallas, and we spent some time in the city.
Oh yeah, I saw the fresh cut, man.
Oh yeah, you know, appreciate you, dog. I had to come back to life, man, because I was looking real, real caveman. Like, it was bad. But it was a good weekend, man. So yeah, we made some money in the market as well, trading this for.
Hey, that's the key right there.
Yeah, y'all gotta put me on game with that, man.
I got you for sure, man. I know I've been saying it, but I got you. You know what I mean? We can definitely chop it up because I'm starting to.
That's a group conversation right there. Right. Everybody want to hear.
Hey, that
sounds
like another episode.
You know what? Matter of fact, let me look. The pen. You heard the pen click? Yep. That's me writing that shit down. That means it's going to happen.
We got a bunch out there that need to make it to episodes.
Right.
You just be doing Forex or you in the stock market too?
I'm not really into the stock market. I was in my younger age. Like I've told people before, man, I had chances to get in on Uber. I mean, I was in Facebook. I mean, but I made $2,000 on Facebook and thought I was winning. But
hey, was winning.
Right, hey, now, whether it's 50 cents or $1, it's still a come up, man.
Right. Hey, yeah, exactly. Facts. You know what I mean? I can't say that I'm mad that I came up like that, but I trade I just do Forex right now, like I'm in Nas 100 right now for a trade, and I've been riding it since earlier today, and I'm up 311 pips, and I'm in a position right now, and I'm getting like 10 cents per pip. So you do the math, it's like $30 right now, and it's continuing to keep going up. So, I mean, that's just little change. that was just me playing. That's not even like a real trade that I usually be in. So it's a very
good gas money for the charger.
You know what I mean? I mean, that's gas money for the charger so I can go Uber drive lady. You know what I mean? But
talking about it, I'm spending money to make money so I can go spend it to make more money.
Yo, it's a cycle, bro. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. But I'm cool, man. As far as the week, bro, like I'm just trying to make sure everything is where it needs to be. And by that I mean just crossing my T's, dotting my I's. A lot of times we forget it's the little things that matter. You know, and it may not even be to you, it may be to others. And especially in this time, we just gotta take others' feelings into consideration. We gotta be more compassionate. Because you can't spell unity without you and I.
That's a good one.
You know what I mean?
That's a gem.
Simple as that. Like you can't spell unity without you and I. And by that, you know what I mean, it's we gonna get this started because I woke up today at 4 a.m. like I normally do during the week, and I mean I hop on my social media. See what's going on.
Zay, yo. Zay, you're not in the military no more.
Nah, yeah, I know, but yo, the crazy thing is, yo, that's what I thought.
That boy a lifer, man. Military. In heart.
Yo, I'm like, I'm not in the military. I can sleep in, da-da-da-da. But I realized on the days I sleep in, bro, I'm way more tired.
And that's because you're going against your schedule.
Right, right. Also, my boy Trone. I mean, y'all know, some of y'all know Trone, one of my co-hosts. Bro,
I thought you said another name.
Oh, no. Nah.
That's what I thought you said.
Shout out to my boy John Trone, Mr. Driven to Succeed. He put me on game, bro. Sometimes you just got to wake up before the world and set your energy. You know what I mean? You got to set the tone before anybody can come in there and interfere with your vibrations. And saying you want to vibrate at a certain frequency, you got to make sure you wake up with that same intensity every single day to get that shit. You feel me? So 4 a.m. is my time. But with that being said, I had woke up today and I had read a quote on Twitter because I follow this page called I Am Mantra. And every day they give a mantra. And I sent this to the group too. It's today's mantra is, I am changing myself and uniting with my sisters and brothers to change the world. Change begins with me. You feel me? You feel me? And I thought that was so dope.
Seen that today, I think, too.
Right. Because I shared on my Instagram and all that because I feel like, you know what I mean? You put that positivity out there, it comes back. I talk about manifestation.
Yeah, big facts. Everything.
Every day, bro. But I thought it was so dope that it happened to drop on a podcast day. You know what I mean? Like a week after we had just got done talking about self-love on an episode. You see how the universe be working? You know what I'm saying? Comes full circle. And now here we are about to talk about a beautiful, beautiful movement that both of y'all were a part of in those protests, man. Because correct me if I'm wrong, but both of them were peaceful, to say the least, correct?
Absolutely.
So Spalding, man, like, tell us, man. So I just want to ask, what, like, so before everything started, what were your intentions like when you went out there to the protest? Like, what were your initial intentions before like anything kicked off?
Honestly, I think my intention was just to go out there and show everybody who can't see, you know what I'm saying, what's going on. I have no intention or no plan to be nobody or do nothing extra. I was just going to be a regular old bystander like everybody else.
Right.
And then my emotions started to come. And then that's when it all changed.
Yo, for real. Okay. And then what about you, Marcellus?
Man, it was just an amazing experience. Like, it was peaceful. Cops were, like, blocking the street so we could walk.
Yeah.
And it was about this. This is a small city, but roughly 250 to 300 people were out there walking and marching as one. So I loved it.
What city are you in?
Sierra Vista, Arizona.
Okay, so Sierra.
Very small city.
And then Spalding, Lebanon. It was in Lebanon, right? Lebanon, Pennsylvania.
Yeah, out in Lebanon, PA.
Now you said your emotions took over. Talk about that a little bit.
But you know, it's hard to listen to, I say this loosely, but it's hard to listen to a white person talk about black traumas if they never had to go through it. So right off of that, I'm listening to you talk about how I feel when you can't even understand how I feel.
Can't relate at all.
And it erupted me off just instantly. As soon as I got there, it was too quiet. So everybody got their camera out, everybody talking to their neighbor. I don't hear no black nothing going on. You know what I'm saying? We need to be Black Lives Matter. I need everybody to know what's the narrative, what we here for.
Right.
Because Black Lives Matter, you know what I'm saying? Simply. Emotion just, I don't know. Emotion just kept taking over. Try not to be rude and interrupt and, you know, make a negative scene, but things of that sort.
Man, you, like I said, my family came out here and I was tuned in live, bro. And I'm gonna be real, like, you gave me goosebumps, dog.
Yeah.
That was a fire.
Yeah, you gave me goosebumps.
Especially because it was impromptu, like impromptu. You like, hey, this I'm gonna do, this what I'm gonna say, and it was beautiful. And I didn't want to listen to anybody else.
right. And you know what I mean, like, and even more so, it's like you. you come from Lebanon, like Lane, you don't know this, man, but there's a, I love the city that I'm in, man, but there's just a lot of hate that flows through that city. A lot of people don't want to see a lot of people successful for whatever reason, and a lot of people tend to not want to unify. But, bro, the city came together, man, and that is very rare for our city. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, because, like I said, I haven't lived there in almost 10 years now. So correct me if I'm wrong, Spalding.
Not wrong one bit.
Right.
Is it a predominantly white city?
It used to be, but now it turned into a majorly minority community. It's mostly Spanish, but a lot of black people have been coming out here now lately, too.
So when they started gentrifying New York, this when you were in Brooklyn, there's signs, move to Lebanon. People took it. They went.
Yo, dead ass?
I did not know that at all.
That is the first time.
That's why so many people from like New York that live in Lebanon now. Because there were like a bill. Whoever put that billboard there made Lebanon a whole lot of money.
Oh, yeah.
So I got a question for all y'all. So being from D.C., Maryland area, like I wasn't really exposed to much interaction with the obviously race growing up. But I remember Majestic said in one of our episodes that it might have been Zay. You said you guys never had a black teacher growing up?
We had like two.
I never had that myself.
Two to three.
Yeah. That's...
So how was that experience? Like, you know, being in a mixed population with not much diversity, but, you know, also not seeing many people that look like you, because I never had that experience until I joined the military.
So originally, since I'm from Brooklyn, like, when I went to elementary and the 1 year I did of middle school, everybody looked like me for the most part. So it was like Hispanic, black folks. And it was a very small percentage of anything else. So like we had Hispanic teachers. We had a lot of Hispanic teachers or whatever, but not very many black. Moved to Lebanon, it was a culture shock. Like people didn't even know how, they're like, what are you saying? I couldn't even talk to people. Because my accent was so strong. And yeah, it's just different. Like when you have teachers, when you have people, when you come out of one bubble and you go into another bubble, and you just don't know those people, like it's a huge adjustment.
I agree. I didn't have that same experience. I was born and raised out in Lebanon. So with that energy, I was always the only black kid in every room I walked into for most of my time, probably until about second and third grade. I experienced my first piece of racism in second grade from my teacher. You know what I'm saying?
Wow.
Which ended up getting me expelled from the elementary school that I was attending.
Mm-hmm.
Long story short, that teacher was fired at the end of that year as well, though.
Do you mind sharing that story?
It's honestly not really a story. It was just more like an experience. Like on a day-to-day basis, I would always be getting in trouble. Like it was as almost I'm being picked on. But as a second grader, I didn't know this. You know, I didn't know this is normal. I'm just getting in trouble because I'm getting in trouble.
Right.
What is it that I'm doing wrong? I'm talking or I'm walking. Or you mean the same shit we're getting in trouble for now? Let me rephrase that. The same things we're getting killed for now. Mm. Walking, talking, you know? Our demeanor, how we sound, how we look, you know what I mean? And it was like little things like that that it just started ticking up, started adding up. And then until I started talking like to my mom about it, and I mean, she did the adult conversations, but to me it was just I was just tattletaling me, somebody's picking on me, and it just happened to be my teacher. I didn't know that it was a racism thing, or I didn't know anything about any of that agenda yet.
No, for sure. For sure. I mean, because why would you? Because you were never taught it.
Right.
But now, as a 25-year-old, it's like, dang, somebody just taught me what thug life actually stands for. And it's like the hate you give, what? Can you say it for me,
the please? Hate you I don't want to say it. Little infants right. Fucks everyone.
And something as simple as that, it changed my whole demeanor. Because me getting picked on in second grade made me turn into a bully psychologically, and not a bully like I'm beating people up, but now a bully in the aspect like I'm picking on people verbally, I'm picking on people mentally, emotionally, you know what I mean? Until I was able to come back into, oh snap, you know, I don't have to be mean.
Right.
You know, I don't have to be like that.
It's just a perspective. But
you felt like you had to be that person in order to feel safe.
Yeah, almost. Like I'm protecting myself by attacking the person in front of me before I can get attacked.
You know, and I think a lot of times people do that subconsciously, and they don't even really realize that until later on in life, like you said. Even
I feel like this is a systematic trauma though. Not from the system, but now your parents put that on you indirectly, and they don't even know it. Like, because their parents put that on them because of something that their parents had to go through. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're passing it down generations on generations, and we're not even
generational curses, man. Generational curses. That's a gem right there. That's a hot topic. Because it's true. I mean, like, parents don't realize that shit at all.
Click that pin.
You said what, Marcelo?
Yeah.
Right.
I said click that pin.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I was thinking about that as well.
Right. And it happens subconsciously, man, because you think about it, it's like, so Marcelo, it's like, so you're a parent now, right? Like, so you're a dad and everything. Do you ever catch yourself, like, doing something and thinking, oh, shit, I sound like my mom, or, oh, shit, I sound like my dad, or, like, have you reached that point yet? Not yet?
Not yet. I'm very...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, true.
I mean,
yeah,
he's still
true.
Young.
Yeah.
He's going to be 9 months in a couple of days. But, like, when I get to that point of I have to have conversations with him, like, I'm always going to double and triple think what I say before I speak it, because the impact your parents' words alone have on a child long-term is exponential. So I'm always going to make sure I'm watching what I say when I talk to him.
You know, go ahead.
It's really like a building, like perspectively, like you're just building a person, you know. The goal of parenting is building your child to be able to thrive and survive without the need of you, hypothetically speaking.
Yep.
I can dig that. I can definitely dig that. Now, not to dive off track, during the protest, were y'all like approached by anybody? Did y'all have like any sort of like confrontation or anything?
So there was a mind you, we're like 200 plus deep, right? And some random Trump supporter like sitting on the side of the road with a Trump sign, and he's like, "Woo!" And we're like,
"Yeah,"
cool. Kept it moving, you know.
Right.
Always that one guy, man.
Yeah, it's just one dude. I'm like, okay, guy, I hope you're enjoying yourself.
Yo, that's the energy right there, bro. Like, because when they sit out there and do that, they just look stupid. They just look stupid.
Absolutely.
So, completely. But that was it. Like, everything else, cops were blocking the street off for us to walk through the, because we protested on the sidewalk. Well, it's like these big walkways they have around here. So we protested that, and then every time we crossed the street, there was a cop there blocking the way off. And like I said, it was like 200 plus of us, so it probably took a couple minutes for someone to sit at a light. So I know some people might have been pissed off, but for the most part, people were like, we're going by, people were honking their horn, they're like, woo, raising up the black power fist out their windows. So it was a beautiful
see, that's
experience.
Dope, man. And what about Sean Levin?
I mean, in Lebanon, it was completely peaceful, but we had a few little, I don't want to say fights or nothing like that, but we had one incident where two older white men was trying to attack somebody with a baseball bat for walking through a parking lot at the wrong time. You know what I'm saying? The same thing we get killed for and being at the wrong place. You know what I'm saying? That could have ended drastically for both parties. You know what I'm saying? That's one example. Another example.
Yo, let me pause. Let me pause you right there for a second, because I literally just watched that video maybe 10 minutes before we hopped on the call. Yo, fellas, listen to me when I tell you this white man was standing out there with his dog on his side, like he was ready to let that bitch loose or something. Like, bro, it's 2020. Mm-hmm. It's 2020. That's it, bro. That I ain't gonna lie, that made me 38 hot, man. That had me 38 hot.
Right.
That shit was so uncalled for.
And make it even worse, they wasn't even the people who they wanted. Like, all right, let me say that better. They weren't even the people that the people with the bats were looking for. They stopped, interrupted the wrong people to make it all, to add icing to the cake. Misidentifying, you know, mistaken identity. That's what it's called.
It's racial profiling.
I sound like a crime that we
racially commit every day. Let's get that thing right. It was racially profiling.
Oh, there it is. Yeah.
Right. And what's crazy is, man, shout out. I don't know the people in the video because I had seen it through people sharing it, but shout out to them for keeping their composure, man. Because, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a very calm dude, but, yo, don't threaten my life, you know what I mean, with a baseball bat. Like, you know what I mean? Don't be over here, you know what I mean, with your dog. Like, you about to let that shit go. Like, you about to attack me because, bro, man.
The two boys in the video. At the shorter one was Avion. He was the one with the camera. Yeah. And the taller one was Reezy. You know what I'm saying? Okay. He was the one ready to go. And shouts out to Villa Van TV. They both actors, you know what I'm saying? Songwriters, word, producers, and all that as well. You know what I'm saying? Some more gentlemen. Some entrepreneurs.
Shout out to them for doing what they're doing, man. For real.
You want to know what's baffling, bro? From my perspective? Had the cops been called on that, the police would have most likely sided with the white person before even knowing the story.
You know, the great thing about social media and technology today is they went live with the shit. So, you know what I mean? Like, witnesses. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? You got witnesses.
Proof.
For all these Karens and these, what are they, Brads? All the Karens and the Brads. You know what I'm saying? Who some shit, man. Just no technology. You know, another thing that I've been seeing, like, a lot of repercussions, man, like, social media is blowing people the hell up. You say some racist shit, you're going to get blown up. It don't matter if, like, that person have known you for 5, 10, 15 years. I'm seeing, like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, shit is crazy, bro. And wow, just for what? Just because you want some clout? Maybe what?
Some clout.
Yeah, it's the wrong type.
Got the clout.
But it's crazy that, you know what I mean, just being, even when we're peaceful, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're still there trying to diminish what we're saying.
That's
trying to counteract our movements. Like, we're some type of vicious animal, but then, I mean, you look at the track record, man. Eh? You know what I'm saying?
Black Wall Street. Eh?
Right.
Yeah. The reason why the race riots happen.
Right.
And we're the ones that use the weapon.
we are the weapon, man, though, hypothetically speaking. Now, the question is why? Why are we the weapon? Because 30 of us is 100 of them. Why are we the weapon? Because we're faster. Why are we the weapon? Because we're stronger. Why are we the weapon? Because we have more instinctual capabilities to act without even having to think, and we're defending any and everybody around us without being scared, without thinking about the repercussion of this, that might happen, that might happen. I'm curious, how is it that a police officer is a police officer, and always his first response is, I was in fear for my life. If you're so damn scared, how are you a cop? Why are you a cop?
It makes no sense.
My bad. That was the angle thing that I guess.
Hey, bro, that's a gift, bro, honestly.
Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. It's just controlling it sometimes.
Because when you speak, man, I hear the conviction, and people, you know, they feel that, bro. You're speaking from the heart. Like, you're not just, you know, blowing smoke up people's ass. Like, you're speaking from the heart. People can feel that. It resonates more with them, I believe. So I think that's a gift, man.
Perspective. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Daddy, this gets not too high.
Remember, Daddy's on the phone. Okay.
I know.
I love you. Also, we had two other fake altercations. You know what I'm saying? Toward the end of our protest, we had people driving by trying to throw rocks at us.
Really?
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? We was able to keep that under containment as well. During our protest, we had the police, not even Lebanon police officers, to make it even worse. We had a whole nother county's police officers lined up on Lincoln and Cumberland trying to intimidate us with their riot gear. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to let that get swept under the rug either.
So you mean to tell me about it yet. Police who had no type of jurisdiction in that area at a peaceful protest came in full Absolutely. Riot gear with the full intentions to intimidate?
Absolutely. Standing there right on the sidewalk when we took the streets, you know what I'm saying? In Lebanon, look, so we gave the police officers an opportunity to take a knee. I'm saying I spoke to the police chief myself while taking a knee while he was standing, you know what I'm saying? He turned his back on his community in front of everybody. Cool, it said a lot. So from there I said, all right, we're gonna take the streets, you know what I'm saying? They're gonna hear what we gotta say one way or another, you know what I'm saying? So that we started. On our round two, that's when the police intimidation came. Round one, you know what I'm saying? So, round two of police intimidation, we're coming to an end for our marching down the street, and I get a phone call. Somebody's informing me that there's four different county police officers lined up waiting at the courthouse for us to return in full riot gear in the street. So, okay, cool. We're not even gonna go over there. We gonna end it up the block somewhere else. You know what I'm saying? Cool. No need. So, in my mind, that's their second time attempting to intimidate us. And I even have a video footage of how many officers there was. And it was very mind-blowing. Like, I have not ever actually seen something like that with my eyes.
But you know what that shows, Josh? That shows our power. When people unite, it scares people. And it's nothing they can do at some point. Like, if we're overnumbered, if we have more numbers than them, what are they going to do? There's only so much you could do. And we have cameras on our side. True. We have all this evidence now. Before, they didn't have that. People was getting their ass beat. They was getting killed. They was getting thrown in jail for nothing. But we have all that now. So this is the most powerful time we have ever.
Absolutely. So
the world has stopped, and they're paying attention now. And we need to do
something. The world, to say the world is paying attention is an understatement. I'm appalled at how many... allies I've seen rise up, for the movement. It's crazy. I was actually driving, and I wish I could have got video footage, man, and it sucks because I was the one behind the wheel. But I was driving through downtown Dallas, and stores were boarded up, right? Stores were boarded up. But this is at like 11 in the morning, 95 degrees. There is crowds of people out there painting peaceful pictures. They're painting murals. They're painting all types of like positive, uplifting stuff. And the community is just coming together, man. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. Like I said, you can't spell unity without you and I. And it's amazing how much unity is being shown right now.
I agree. At the same time, it's very, very eye-opening for your neighbor who is standing outside of any place. What? Maybe we can say his place of employment with armed rifles and, you know what I'm saying, multiple, more than one, with, what is it, vest, bulletproof vest and all of that. Like, for what? This speaks a lot. These are people who are voted in office, you know what I'm saying? Representing communities. Not even from Lebanon. Make it worse at that. But yet they're in Lebanon community showing off their guns.
It just shows,
ready to shoot people.
It just shows the type of cowards they are. You know what I mean? Because perspective. You said all you wanted the police chief to do was take a knee with you. That's it. You know what I mean? But
simply, it would have
the reason why he did it is because he probably couldn't have went back to his friends and had a beer with his buddy Bill. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, he wasn't thinking about the moment right there. He was thinking about how his friends were going to look at him. He was thinking about how he was going to look like a chump or a sellout or whatever, you know what I mean? Whatever they was going to call him. I mean, because he took a knee with his community. I mean, he couldn't even do that. And to be honest, I don't think he deserves to be the police chief, because we've talked about it several times. As the police, Absolutely. Your job should be to make amends with the community. You're supposed to make the community safer. You're supposed to be who the community goes to, I mean, when there's issues, but you can't even take a knee peacefully? Come on, man.
I can go with you.
I feel like that's another part of the problem too. Like right now, everybody's saying it's just police brutality. That's what this is all about. It's bigger than that, you know? It's not necessarily police brutality. It's a human rights thing nowadays. You know what I mean? Like, everybody's getting abused by the police officers. Don't get it twisted. But absolutely, it's black people who are getting it 3 times to 1. You know what I'm saying? And that's been forever. But now the catch is, why don't I see police officers walking down the street anymore? Why don't I see police officers at these events where all the kids are, you know what I'm saying, interacting with people? Why don't I see police officers at the playground playing basketball with the kids because they're bored? You know what I mean? Like, you don't see these type of things anymore. There used to be a point where you would get pulled over and you're like, oh, what's up, officer so-and-so? Damn, you got me, homie. I know, I was just trying to get home, you know. All right, but just let me get my ticket, let me keep it pushing. But that's not what's happening anymore. Now you're getting pulled over by a random police officer who don't know you, and because you're darker or colored or pigmented, you're already double a threat, right? Because you're faster, you're stronger, you're smarter, you know what I'm saying? That being that, but now on the reverse side, you're getting pulled over, so you're already irritated, agitated, whether you're doing something wrong or not. Especially if you're not, because now you're like, damn, you fucking up what I got going on now. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, that's just adding insult to injury too. I don't know. Little things. I feel like the biggest problem right now, it needs to come back to your community. You know what I'm saying? Nothing's going to change if you don't change, not only in the mirror, but within your community. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody has to come together. Everybody has to be heard. Everybody has to use their voice. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Everybody has ideas.
Nah,
but nobody wants to
know
ideas.
You know, because you're saying exactly what needs to happen. You know what I'm saying? It's the other people who don't know. There's a saying, you know what I'm saying? Like, my old first sergeant told me, that sticks with me all the time. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. You know what I mean? Yeah, you know it. You know it.
Come on, Ozzy.
You know it. Shout out to Top, man. That's my guy right there. For sure, man. Hey, but
it's
like you're saying, dog. It's people's voice. People need to use their voice. It needs to be heard. The community needs to feel safe, not threatened by the police, man. And that's just the bottom line. That is the bottom line.
Right.
Yeah.
What does it say on the side of police cars?
Bro, I'm gonna be real. Sir. I don't even know what it says on the side of the police car because like 9 out of 10 of them are undercover.
He's so
annoying. True. Yeah. It's to protect and serve. And we don't feel protected, and we definitely don't feel served. So, that has to happen.
I don't know. It sounds like Josh needs to run for public office over there, man.
No, change is needed in that town, man. It's crazy. I was having a conversation with my fam about how corrupt that little ass town be, man. It's crazy. It is crazy. But
in a little bit I'll bring some.
Now so you was out there in Arizona. What how was you said what?
Yep. A red state.
Red state. Yeah, so
a red state.
To only be met by like just a little resistance is actually pretty interesting. Right.
I'm impressed.
I think that's right.
I'm very impressed by this community. And like we were looking it up the other day, the percentage of black people in the state of Arizona
4% in Arizona.
Oh wow.
And
wow.
4%. And see, Sierra Vista is like top 10 for black communities, whatever. But which really isn't speaking about it too much because most of them are military. But there was so many people from every type of whatever, and the majority of the people weren't black that were walking through these protests. So this community, I appreciate them for what they did.
Doesn't that make it so much more powerful, though? Doesn't
Man,
that make it so much more powerful?
Thing, like, as soon as the protest started, like, initially when they started protesting in
Minneapolis?
Minneapolis? What is it? Yeah, Minneapolis.
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Yeah, so when they started doing that, people were protesting here, and they started with like 10-something people maybe. They did that big protest on Friday. They continued. They protested on, I think they did a Thursday protest, a Friday protest, and they were still out there on Saturday, like standing in this like really busy area, and people were, there were 15 people on each corner still out there protesting.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, if y'all had any continued protests, because I believe out here, they're like, they had every Saturday, or they're doing every Saturday, I believe. They're going to protest until, I mean, those dudes are convicted, or until we know, like, what the charges are. But I think, I believe that's the plan out here.
Mm-hmm. As far as Lebanon, where I'm at, I'm aware in reference of Lebanon specifically, but that's been a conversation that's been occurring, like, I'm out in Lebanon. After Lebanon had one, there was one in Palmyra. After Palmyra, the next day, there was one in Anvil. You know what I'm saying? At the same time, one was going on in Hershey and one was going on in Elizabethtown. I ended up popping out to Elizabethtown. You know what I'm saying? I came right out of work. It was only about 7 black people. I counted. It was legitimately 7 black people. Right. And I'm not counting myself in this. Mm. It was all white people there. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And when I seen that, like, I almost fake caught a tear, because it was like, that is what this is all about, you know, like, that's the narrative that we need. Like, we as black people, we know what we got to go through every day, but as a white person, to now see firsthand what a black person is, has to experience or has to live through or has to try to live through, it's very eye-opening.
It really is.
And it's very powerful.
I just really hope that the energy is kept. You know what I mean? I just hope that like once this is resolved in our favor, because it's going to be, whatever that resolution may be. I just hope that the same energy is kept, man. I just hope we don't ever have to come back to this.
Well, what do you mean by that, though? What do you mean?
Like,
I hope that the same energy is kept.
I hope that everybody standing next to each other and everybody uniting with each other. I hope that it's not just for the moment. You know what I mean? I hope that, you know, the people that you were protesting, you know, if you see somebody and, you mean, you recognize them from the protest, even just a simple head nod, like, hey, let me show, and keep it pushing. You know what I mean? Because that's lasting connection. You know what I'm saying? That's what really makes the community and brings the community together. Because, you know what I mean, if some shit was to happen, now you know, like, hey, nah, I know Josh Bolden, nah, he's a good dude, all this other, nah, he wasn't bothering nobody, the police came over here and they were talking all this shit, I seen it with my own eyes, you know what I'm saying? Like, the energy needs to be kept.
Yeah,
we need absolutely. And we need to start doing more instead of recording shit. We need to intervene. And I'm not saying intervene to the point where you're putting your life at jeopardy, or you're putting your freedom at jeopardy, but something else needs to be done more than just, I mean, right, more than being video recorded.
Watching someone die.
Let me ask y'all now, what can possibly, give me one idea, what can you possibly do, what can you possibly do
with the intervening
wise? What can you do? And yeah, absolutely.
As one person,
one idea, what can you do?
As 10 people, George Floyd may not have died that day. That I'll say it like that.
So let me ask you another question. This is a narrative question. All right. So I'm a white officer and I have 3 other white officers behind me, even though one of them was black, one of them was Asian, but we're just going to say it was 4 white officers for this example. You know what I'm saying? And I'm getting choked out right now. And you step in to intervene. What's going to stop them from now choking you out right aside with me? And now 2 other people join in to stop both of us from getting choked out. What's stopping all 4 of us to now get shot on the spot because we're resisting arrest, we're interfering with an investigation? Right. You know how they trump up all these bullshit-ass charges to make you the bad guy when we all witnessed the police officer kill somebody and he didn't see anything wrong with his actions. You know what I'm saying? And it was justified until it was on camera. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Josh a little bit.
I've contemplated the answer to that question, I can't answer it at the moment, but I just know something else needs to be done, man. I can't answer that question because it sucks, because even if we're armed, like, we're gonna get shot. Right, we're gonna get shot.
They have another reason.
Even if we try to fight them, you know what I mean? They're gonna play the story there. Like you said, man, it's like a double edged sword.
Yeah, it really do.
Like
I'm kinda with Josh a little bit, bro, because you know, hypothetically speaking, those individuals that were recording, they jumped in, that would have been two more lives possibly lost, or two black men that may have not been able to go home to their family, right, either due to injury or either going to jail. So it's like, you know, I commend them for staying there and being as close as they are, sure, because had it not been for that video,
nobody would know. We wouldn't even be doing
George Floyd's death would have been pushed under the rug so bad, man, and it's sad. So in a sense, it is a double-edged sword. I'm glad we have technology, but I do understand what Zay is saying, and you know, he's like, he wants us to do something more than it's, you know, simply recording. But you know, it's tough, man. It's like, what do you do? Because you know, if I see something going on, I want to intervene, but I also have to think into my mind, like, hey, I got a family to go back.
I want
to
live.
So you know.
I mean, but
I want to live. You
like
know?
I said, we don't have the answer now, but it's a narrative, man. Something that needs to be talked about, because I'm a firm believer in piss poor plan, or proper planning prevents piss poor performance.
Big facts.
I think in the future we may see some type of policy or legislation come down that's, again, it's kind of hard to balance this, but there should be some type of legislation that should allow citizens to somewhat intervene, you know, some police brutality without actually getting in trouble.
But now that's the problem. There already is. You can legally fight, kill, murder the cop if you're being illegally detained, harassed, whatever the case may be. But that we do that all the time.
You have to prove it, then.
And we still have this.
And you have to prove it.
You know what I'm saying? As a poor black man, how am I going to prove anything? I don't have no camera because I was by myself, and it's 3-4 police officers of all colors against me. Hypothetically,
it's their word against yours, unfortunately.
You know what I mean? The way I was thinking it, it's like, okay, the only real solution right now comes back to your community. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why are the cops even involved in the situation? You know what I'm saying? Because you handed somebody a counterfeit bill. Okay, that's not your fault. Cool. Where did the money come from? You just sold something of yours so you can get money to go eat. Okay. They never got to that part of the conversation while talking to the police officers. You know what I'm saying? Police officers came. They showed power.
You know what kills me about you know that story of how there was a counterfeit bill? I went to the mall this weekend, bro, because the malls are open out here, and I spent some money. And every bill, they checked thoroughly before they put it in the register. Like there was like that little narrative there, man, that pissed me off so much. And even more so this weekend after I seen it, like I literally see people looking at the bill for a good 30 to 45 seconds, man. Like, so that shit right there. Nah, they did it to everyone.
Did they do it to everyone, or was this
well in the best white counterpart wasn't?
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's a normal, like, it always happens to me is what I'm trying to say. So for that narrative to come up as a reason, like, as people were trying to use that as a reason why he was detained and his murder being an, I'm doing air quotes right now, accident.
Justice.
But, I mean, I just don't buy that shit, because I guarantee anybody who's used a $50 bill, that shit gets checked. Every time, right? Use like $20 bills are getting checked.
Yeah,
20 and up, it's getting checked. So they tried to use that to diminish it, man. That just pissed me off.
They're everywhere.
I had to get that out of there, because that was something I seen this weekend, and it just made me think about that.
Hey, bro, something else I seen this weekend. I'm sure you guys seen as well. Did you guys see what they did in D.C. with the Black Lives
Matter?
Yeah,
man. Don't make me talk.
Painting on the ground.
What you got? Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. So, my perspective. I actually got into a heated discussion with a lot of my fraternity brothers, and they told me that my mindset was kind of being negative and not being optimistic about the situation. But I told them I wasn't impressed with that shit at all.
Why not?
Like, I think that was just a... So it's a nice gesture.
I agree.
The symbolism is nice, but it's like, what are you doing aside from that? Because people are still dying. Yeah. I know. Again, I know change comes slowly. I understand that, but it's like, I think that was just the mayor of DC's way of saying, okay, I'm going to do this just to shut people up for now in an attempt to mitigate people from rioting, in an attempt to mitigate people from looting. I do understand that. So I do understand that, but it's like putting a pacifier on a situation but not totally rectifying it. And I have an issue with that because she just increased DC's police budget.
Exactly.
Budgets. And it's like, you know, again, yes, you're acknowledging the Black Lives Matter, but it's like, what are you doing? What policies are you putting into place? What legislation are you putting into place? Are you donating money? Are you donating money back to the communities? Are you going to relook into the hiring process? Like, you know, again, what are you doing, Mayor Bowser?
So I personally too.
Have an issue with that.
Another prison for Black females.
Bro, I was not impressed with that shit. It was bothering me because I think that simple-minded thinking, like, you know,
yo, why man, are you I'm impressed a, I'm
with
be 100.
This sign being changed?
I'm going to be 100. I feel
like,
you.
Like,
I feel
what change is that. Coming from that?
Like, so I wouldn't say I'm unimpressed. Well, I'll say I'm unimpressed. How the gestures are appreciated. However, like I said, I want to see the same energy kept. Like you said, I mean, legislation.
Yes.
Like, I mean, like, shit needs to be done at a higher level to prevent this shit from happening. I mean, chanting saying Black Lives Matter with us is cool. It's appreciated. We love that. But please keep the same energy. You know what I mean? Right.
But that goes back to us.
Yup.
We have to be the ones right. in those positions because they're not going to change that.
Facts.
Because it goes back to where
Mayor Bowser is like, DC native. It's crazy.
You know, that cop didn't want to take that knee because he thought of what all his friends would say. So you go to some lawmaking mm-hmm. individuals, that's a higher level, that's a higher community. Those people that vote for them, you think they're going to sit there and be like, well, we're going to put this in because, you know, such, such, and these people are dying, and they don't want to hear that shit.
We don't care about them. They're doing this because I need them to anyways. Shit, realistically, it's still slavery going on. For real. You know what I'm saying?
Mental. Yeah, man. Yeah, I was living, man. I got into heated discussions with my frat brothers over that, man. And they're older than me. Most of them are in their late 40s or over 50. So my mindset is somewhat different from theirs. But, you know, I don't know, man. It's just like some people, like, it's like, are you really impressed with
sure.
a street sign? A street
sure.
name being
I think
changed?
It was a cool gesture.
Sure.
Like,
I'm going to be honest.
Exactly. The gesture was nice, but we're losing sight of the ultimate
goal. Feel like that was her purpose for that, though, too, to deter the energy that is really occurring. Okay, we'll give them a block. We'll give them the block in front of the White House. That'll make them feel good. That'll shut them up for a while. You know what I'm saying? Let's hurry up and get these new equipment right. coming in. Let's hurry up and finish our
it's
new
like
prison.
Like I said, it is appreciated, but keep the same energy when it hits a grander scale.
Yeah.
Yep.
On the same note, I feel like it also pulled back into community again. Why? Because police are involved because you're not policing your own, hypothetically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
If... I can't use that example. All right, so the cops wouldn't be involved. The cops wouldn't be involved if I'm calling you out on your bullshit before you go do it. If that being said, I see you getting ready to go rob some shit, and I'm a member of the community, and you're about to go rob the store, you know what I'm saying? With or without a gun, whatever the case may be. You going to shoot me too? Just to go rob the store? You going to shoot me, the store owner, and whoever else? You know what I'm saying? Hypothetically speaking, me as a person who... A little bit of people know. I'm a step in front of you. Just like I said, you're not gonna mess up my community. I don't care who it is. It's not going down. You know what I'm saying? I live here. I shop here. You're not gonna mess up the stores. I'm shopping.
We gotta hold each other accountable, man.
We gotta start holding our people accountable in order for the police to even think about trying to treat us regular. We can't have a decent conversation with ourselves, with our own people, without it turning into a fight or an argument. Or more, you know what I mean? Now we out here fighting in the street, killing each other. Well, the police don't have a choice but to step in now. You know what I'm saying? We're putting it in there.
No, I hear that.
I don't know if that makes sense, though.
Nah, it makes perfect sense, man. I mean, we gotta mitigate things.
And it goes back again.
Yeah.
You give little infants fucks everyone.
Yeah.
Because Yeah, I mean, once you start to, like we were talking earlier before we had started recording, you know what I'm saying? Those generational curses. Well, I don't know if we were talking about that on the recording, but it's those generational curses that goes, it ties back. That mentality, that where you're from plays a big part. You know what I mean? The things that you see growing up and the things that you believe growing up, that all shapes who you become as an adult. Right. Right. So now if you're growing up and your life has always been hard,
absolutely.
Not to say like just because your life has been hard, you should go out and do that shit, but it's all they know. It's all some people know. Right.
It's like the find the reasoning. Like, why are you at the store stealing right now? Oh, because you're hungry. Did you know that we have places that will give you food for free on 5 days a week basis? I bet you weren't aware of that. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know what I'm saying? Why are you trying to rob somebody for a dollar? Oh, because you need help paying your light bill? Did you know that we have LIHEAP, which is a system in place to help low-income people to be able to afford their electric? You know what I'm saying?
Yo, you on point with that, though. I mean, like,
I don't know.
Even just educating yourself, you can educate others. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of people don't know that, so they can't tell people that.
Exactly. Because
they might have tried to been going to somebody and been like, hey, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what to do. I need outlet. And they'd be like, man, fuck it, man, bro. Let's go out and rob this nigga. I mean, part of my language, but, you know what I mean? Like, let's go out and you know what I mean? Jack the store.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But I don't know, man.
Here's another one. How to make that change?
Right, right.
Start supporting right. your people. Start supporting your brother, your sister, your neighbor. The reason that they are so powerful, they being the system or the man or the people, the reason that they are so powerful,
Tarjay.
You shop at for all of your stuff. You're shopping at Walmart. Well, shit, who owns Walmart? The white man, not racially, but the system. You know what I'm saying?
Like,
if I got all of this stuff in my store, even though I'm charging 25 cents more, you need to be shopping with me. Why? Because now when it comes time for election, just know my 1,000, 2,000, 10,000, whatever, my bread just went to an official who is now going to represent me, you, right. your brother, your mother, your sister, your auntie, and your uncle. You know what I'm saying? They're not doing that for you. They're not coming to knock on your door to see how you feel about X, Y, and Z. They're not coming to your house to see if you need help with X, Y, and Z. You know what I'm saying? They're not going to take you to the lake and help you get and, down to drink the shit.
Lainey said the same thing last week. You know what I mean? Like, we got to start taking the census and we got to start voting.
See, I don't even like the census, so but I agree almost. No, I don't agree with the census. I don't like the census. I agree with voting. I definitely agree with voting. You know what I'm saying? It's like, how often do you vote?
Explain, bro.
I mean, think about it. Like, people die for this, right? People have gone through terrible things so we can have the right to vote. And you go down 2-3 generations later and people don't even care about it. They don't even know the power of voting. They don't even know the power of the people.
And that goes back again, though, to representation. It's tough for us to see the power of the vote when there's nobody that represents it. Like, and we live through an example. Look at Obama. Exactly. Bro, I'm going to be real. Obama won off the strength as he was colored. You know what I mean?
He was black. Well,
that's
was
it.
Black
Obama
man.
Was black. That was it.
He was black. Never seen so many votes in America, ever. Ever.
And did y'all notice his political strategy, though? We're not going to let that slide under the rug. His first 4 years, he did absolutely nothing for the black community. And I don't say that in a negative way one bit. Because his last 4 years, he said, you can't do nothing to me. I'm helping my people solely. And that's all he tried to do. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
It's a perspective game, too. You know what I'm saying? It's not about right now all the time. Right now,
speaking of perspective, I'm gonna cut you off. Let's look at something, right? So y'all remember when President Obama had that fresh ass, you know what I mean, tan suit? Yeah, man.
Oh my god.
Fire ass suit, right?
Oh yeah, Easter. What's that, Easter?
You remember how mad some people were that my man had on a fresh ass suit?
Right. Man, First Lady Obama even got a lot of slack for some dresses and hairstyles that she had.
Yeah, but yeah, you know,
have to find something. Now let's look at the current commander in chief. You know what I'm saying? Let's look at him in the first thing.
Man, can it put on a
two? I don't know who the current commander in chief is. We talking military stuff right now, right? Because I don't the president or y'all president, their president. I don't. It's not nobody. Yeah, you see my energy already.
It's that perspective, man. It's that perspective. Some people can see the darkness in a room full of light, and some people can see the light in a room full of dark, man. You just gotta remember to look at the glass and be happy that there's water in that motherfucker. And on that note, gentlemen, you know what I mean? I think we should wrap it up because it was a dope conversation. I don't want to oversaturate the listeners. Is there anything you know what I mean, y'all want to say before we let them go?
Nah, man.
We're going to change.
Appreciate you coming on, Josh.
Thank you for having me. You know what I'm saying? I genuinely appreciate it. My whole agenda, you know what I'm saying? Simply be the change that you want to see. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of stuff happening. It's a lot of noise being made. You know what I'm saying? But noise ain't going to get nothing done. If you want something to get done, be the change that you want to see. Simple. You know what I'm saying? If that means you got to step up in your community and let everybody know when it's a problem come to you because you know how to talk to that next person who can really make that difference, so be it. You know what I'm saying? Simple. Everybody got an idea. Use it to put together a solution.
Yo, man. You know, like I said, you got to send me your info so we can let the people know where to reach you for Spalding Soul Savers. Thank you again for coming on Positively Spartans, man. You definitely embody the spirit that we try to represent with this podcast, man. Your intensity, your emotion, you know what I mean? Like, even your story, bro. Like, I've known you for how many years, and I didn't even know, like your startup story, man. Like, continue to be an inspiration. Continue to be a leader. And if nobody's told you, I'm proud of you, brother. For sure.
Thank you. I appreciate that genuinely. Everybody remember, Spalding Soul Savers is a transportation company transformed into a foundation to inspire others through fitness and personal testimony.
With that being said, we're going to let y'all go, man. So until next time, positivity, prosperity, peace.